Welcome back, everybody, to the Reflex Blues Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery. We're here from the 1119 corporate headquarters with Aaron Stubbe and Chris Kelly, both wearing red plaid. What's up with this?
We're lumberjacks over at Hayneedle, so, you know.
Yeah, and you guys just got, like, corporate merger or something? It's out there publicly, right?
Yeah, it's all over the news. It was like some big business magazine, Forbes.
Yeah, Forbes.
Yeah, had an article on their website, which was kind of interesting to see.
What was funny about that is there was a hyperlink, of course, to Jet, but not to Hayneedle.com.
Yeah. But,
it was actually our competitor. It was Wayfair.
We were recently acquired by Jet.com, who's kind of an Amazon competitor. We are going to remain Hayneedle.com, me and Stubbe and the rest of the team are going to remain employed. That's what they tell us.
That's a press release. So, at least as long as we know that that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
So you guys are now going from being in house to being in house.
A bigger house.
Bigger house.
Yeah. How's that? Is that like a big shakeup thing, or you guys probably don't even know yet?
Yeah, we haven't. I mean, we literally found this out. God, what was it? It was
last Thursday.
Yeah. It was real recent. So we're still kind of figuring it out.
Still lots of questions.
But the big thing, you know, is hopefully people will actually start knowing who Hayneedle is in the near future. So, you know, right now we've had pretty conservative marketing budgets and that sort of thing, just trying to kind of, do things smart, you know, and kind of slowly do inexpensive marketing. And now we're going to have hopefully a decent budget to do real things.
Well, we're going to have you back, if everything stays on course, like later on, to see the difference between being in-house and being in-house at a large Goliath. Because I know, you know, when I was in-house, it was at a small place, but then before that I was at the railroad, and they're huge. Mm-hmm. And there's a good and bad. I mean, sometimes you get the better budgets, and sometimes you have to deal with more stuff, but you'll figure that out.
Yeah, so far we're hearing about all the good stuff, so
in the future. All press releases and all meetings will only tell you about the good stuff.
Yeah. It's the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. Yep. Last place.
All right, so like, you know, you guys are happily employed. Yep. So for those other people who aren't happily employed and they're looking for work, like, we want to talk about, since you guys are wearing this wonderful red lumberjack
here. Way to tie it in.
Yeah, what are the red flags maybe that you would mention to somebody if somebody said, like you mentioned somebody wanting a PC at the office?
Yeah.
That's a red flag not to hire somebody, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah, or if they want you to work on a PC.
I had a contract job there once at a place. Ooh. And they came in, and they're like, here's the PC. And it's like, oh, and it hurt. I tell you what, getting used to the...
That wasn't an instant deal breaker, you actually...
Or did you not know until you started?
You know, I did that contract. It actually got extended a few times. Oh. And it wasn't a full-time job.
Gotcha.
But I did that. I did work for them for a while. Later on, then I did work for them again through my company. And then I just brought in my own laptop. But I tell you what, man, going from the command to the control for the key sets, it was the hardest part.
Yeah.
The software, Adobe has done a decent job of making the software pretty comparable. Like, I mean...
Mm-hmm. Like, I have students every once in a while that'll bring in their own PC laptop to work on, and then they'll ask me for help. And, of course, I don't remember where anything is in the menus. I use all hotkeys. So I'll go over there, and I'll hit what I think is the Apple button, and then the start menu pops up. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
No, it's all the control button.
Yeah, it's not in the right place.
But yeah, I think I did hesitate about it. I was like, oh, because to me it represents that you don't really know the life of the designer, and you probably don't value them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing for me too, other than that, is just making sure you really actually get along with the people that are interviewing you.
Yeah, but nobody's going to get along with me, so that to me... like, I'm looking at this the other way. Like you know, I'm going to have to look past it, they're going to have to look past it, you know.
Just everybody's going to be miserable, but right. Eventually the work will look good. Yeah, like, I mean, I've worked at a place before where, I felt a little unsure about the person interviewing me, and, then I went ahead and went with it and regretted it later, you know? So it's... Something, again, just kind of like trust your instincts. You know, if you feel like you got chemistry with the person that's working for you, you know, or that you're going to be working for, that's great. If you don't feel like there's any chemistry there, it's going to be really hard to build that up later, I think.
Yeah, and I think that depends on how big the place is. If it's larger, obviously you're not going to get along with, you know, if you're working for 1,000-person company, you're not going to even be able to meet them all. But you got to look at your direct who you directly report to, and probably the people that would work on your little team. Because most of the time, I think you work with the same, what, 4 or 5 people?
Yeah, we have a pretty intimate crew.
I mean, no matter where you are, like, have you guys ever been at a job where you've been at a team that's more than, like, 4 or 5 people?
Hay Needle's a huge company, and we've got, you know, 4 designers on staff, and we pretty much just work together all the time. So
I guess every place I've ever worked has been about 4 to 5.
Yeah, because I know even the bigger agencies, they'll be like, here's the team, and there'll be like 4 or 5 people on each team, and they might move somewhere around, but work with that same group.
Otherwise, I can't remember anybody's name. I guess there are like 4 names in my head. That's about it.
Yeah.
One thing I suggest, even if, you know, you can make sure you can meet the team that you're going to be working with, before you actually accept the job, like, know the people that you're going to be work with day in and day out, instead of just kind of going into it blind. You know, that's if they're kind of sheltering you from the people you're going to be working with, that might be something you want to kind of be a little afraid of.
Somebody mysteriously is gone every single meeting.
Yeah.
You have like 3 interviews and someone's mysteriously absent every single time, or locked in a cage in the back room.
What's this empty desk about? Oh, that's Jeremy. He's he's in Canada.
Yeah, he just flew up there for. Oh, he'll be back in like 3 hours. He left this morning.
You just missed him again.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for me, it's like, I don't know. I look at the work that a company does, and it's like, oh, I want to do work like that. But if I'm not going to get along really well with the people that I work with, or I'm not going to have like a lot of fun at my job, I'm not going to be producing that kind of work that I want to make.
Now, is it a red flag for you if they show you the work they're producing and it's not what you want to do, but they say they're bringing you on to fix it, or not? Like, because I know a lot of times they, you know, they're hiring you because they want their work to be better, per se.
Yeah. Again, I think it kind of comes back to that gut feeling you get from the person you're talking to, if they're going to be open to change. I think a lot of people say they want change and say they want things to be better, and then once you actually try to implement that, they get freaked out and they go back to their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a hard time trusting that sententiment.
Yeah.
I've always had, you know, younger designers are always like, hey, I think this company's work is like this company has terrible design. Maybe I can go pitch my work to them. And it's like, they probably have terrible design because they don't value design at all. Like, it has to be, the best client to me is someone who comes where you're like, you look at their stuff and you're like, hey, this is pretty good, but maybe we could do better, because you know, that's why you're hiring me, but you already have some sort of eye for it.
Yeah.
If someone came to, you know, if you're looking to work somewhere and the work's just terrible, you're like, you may not be able to fix it.
Yeah, and they might not know what good design is.
Right.
You know, you might show them something amazing, and they might go, well, you know, it doesn't have enough starbursts on there.
Yep, make it bigger, make it blink.
Right. Which is okay if they loosen the reins, but if they're gonna be micromanaging about it, then, it's just going to lead to unhappy working relationship for both.
What about turnover rate? How fast or how slow of turnover before you get worried either way? Do you get worried if no one's ever left? Do you get worried if somebody leaves every 3 days?
I think there's somewhere in between. You know, if you, it might sound great that a company has kept people there for 15 years or something like that, but that could translate to, well, I'm never going to get promoted in this company because people stay there forever. That could translate to, well, these people don't know that there's other good jobs out there, so they're going to stay there forever no matter what. Or, you know, if they have a turnover rate of people stick around for like 2 years or 1 year, that's not very long, you know, for somebody to figure out they don't like a place.
I'm trying to think, because, yeah, if you go into the place where they don't have turnover, and they're like, oh, you're the first person we've hired in 10 years, you may be there 5 years and you're still known as the new guy.
Yeah, the newbie. Well, not only that, but like innovation, like you wonder, just variety is important, I think, when it comes to staying motivated and staying curious about what you're doing. So it could be a challenge too if you're battling a lot of opinions that are just kind of stuck in a certain mold.
Yeah, especially if that place that has people that have been there for 20 years is also the place that says they're open to change. They might not be. they might be pretty used to what they're doing.
Yeah, it is hard to want to change if it's been, quote, successful, unquote.
Yeah, it's been working for us just fine.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, this is the way we've always done it. Why, you know, we want you to innovate, but, you know, this is the way we've always done it. We've always found out it works.
Right, but now how fast is too fast turnaround? Because we were also discussing before we recorded that in this profession, it's not uncommon to have a number of jobs. And, you know, you talk to someone and they've had five jobs in 5 years, and you, if you go to, like, a different profession, a lot of times they'd be like, whoa, you jump around a lot. But if you're in the ad agency world, they may be like, oh, you stay put.
Yeah. Yeah, Aaron, you're kind of in the,
yeah,
the minority
I'm
here.
I'm the exception to the rule. I've had three jobs, and I think I've been at Hayneedle for close to about five now, and before that I was at the agency for six. So,
but 20 years ago, five jobs in 13 years might have been jumping around too.
Yeah, a little adventurous there. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm a design slut, and I've been working all over the place, you know. And I typically try to stay with places a couple of years because I want to give them a good shot and figure out, you know, is this really what I want, or am I thinking of this too negatively? And, you know, I give them some time to kind of sort things out. But, you know, I've typically given places about 2 to 3 years, and I think that's, you know, anything less than that, I think, would be a pretty scary turnaround rate.
Yeah, I know. I've talked to some people that have hired in this profession, and they mentioned that they're hiring someone full-time and the person's there. There's training involved, so if the person, like, leaves right away, it sucks. But if they're there a year, then they feel it's, you know, could be successful enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't regret hiring the person because they jumped ship because they did get work out of them.
Yeah. Like I said, you just got to give it a chance. And, you know, those first, it sucks being the new guy. You know, you got to get past the new guy's phase. But then again, if you're going to work with a lot of people that are just way too comfortable with their job and they're never going anywhere, that's not a good place to be either.
They say it takes, what, 6 to 8 months before you really kind of feel comfortable enough to, you know, take risks and put yourself out there.
Oh, you mean quit wearing shoes around?
show up an hour late.
Unbuttoning, like, the top four buttons of the right. Jack suit you're wearing.
Wearing my hot pants.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm still in the new guy phase at Hayneedle, then, I guess. I'm getting close. Even though it's weird, I'm, like, old guard because, you know, I was there for so long before, and now I'm back. So.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're a new guy or if you're old guy now.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
a
know.
Weird. It's I, a I weird hybrid. Yeah.
You asked lots of questions still, which is important about some of the little things, but it doesn't feel like you're the new guy.
I just forget where everything is.
Right.
that could just come with age, too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Right, so since we covered a few of these red flags that it's time to, you know, let's say you get the job, what are some red flags that can come down the road that maybe it's time to start looking again? You know, I remember I had a job where the person I reported to changed like 6 times in 6 months. And the last person I reported to said immediately after introducing himself, came back to my cubicle and asked to what I did because they were completely unfamiliar with what we did at all. And that should have been a red flag. And it's mainly because you realize that the person you're reporting to, it's not that they don't value what they do, it's that they have no idea if they even should value what you do.
Right.
So I left within 6 months of that happening.
A lot of shakeups in
the leadership. Hard thing was that was maybe the nicest person I've ever worked for.
Just totally clueless.
Just wasn't put in the right spot.
Was that when the company was on its downward spiral?
No, this was the company before that.
Okay.
The other one is when you see constant every few months constant shrinking of company size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, definitely
everything strong. Just gets tighter and less less trust in general.
But I found, like, if you're in house and you're, you know, when people ask me in house, it really comes down to who you're reporting to, because a lot of the stuff that comes down from the higher ups gets to that person in charge of your department, and that person can either make that stuff go away or explain to the people that it shouldn't matter. And then if that person's not there, then everything just comes straight to your desk and you have to do things that really make no sense for what you're even hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's even in-house, it's super important to have a strong creative director or superior that understands design and kind of block that stuff. But if you have somebody that doesn't do any of that for you and just kind of lets you handle what should be their job, that's definitely a sign you should probably be poking around at what else is out there. Yeah. That's not normal. If you think that's normal, it's not.
You need to have a champion in your court.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think you need to be challenged still, too. Like, if you start to recognize that your responsibilities diminish, or it just seems like things aren't moving, and again, you don't have someone that is in your court that supports the...
Well, I would say it's not even that you're not, that your challenges diminish. A lot of times you grow in the profession, you get better at stuff, and your challenges, if they're the same, they feel diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have no... Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is, if you don't feel that you can learn anymore in your position, that's what always to me a time to start looking. Unless you're Absolutely. Like, you're like, oh, I want to retire in a couple of years anyway.
Yeah, I mean, again, even if you're in-house, even if you're doing the same job, if you're not feeling challenged, you know, if you feel like you're doing the same thing you did 5 years ago, you know, you kind of need upward momentum of some kind to indicate you should stick around or keep doing what you're doing. You know, and then on the other side of that, too, is if you start getting left out of a lot of important projects.
Where is everybody?
Hey, why'd you guys all have that meeting?
Yeah.
It's really easy to internalize that and think that that's because you're not doing good at your job, but maybe it's also just because you're not being respected at your job.
Everybody gets a new MacBook, but you who get a Surface to now work on?
That might be a red flag.
Yeah. They just installed the new Netscape on your computer.
I think those are all definite. Sometimes also it's like, depending on if the company hires like somebody outside, and you can look up their track record of how they handle companies. A lot of times that can give you a red flag later. Like, I worked at a place and they hired a guy that, in retrospect, he downsized companies, and the internet wasn't what it is now. We didn't have the way to research that, but that we should have started to realize, oh, maybe this is the beginning of something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot easier to just kind of look into who's running your company now or who's in charge of you now and just look at where they've been before and look at their track record. You know, I mean, when you're getting hired, people are scoping you out. They're looking at your Facebook. They're looking at all your past stuff. You can, you know, you can do the same about who's hiring you or who you're working for.
Yeah, and I would also say you can probably even talk to, depending on, you can talk to them about, like, what their goals are, and if their goals are to kind of stay the same, or their goals aren't any bit in line with what you want to do, that's kind of a flag that maybe your time's going to dwindle away.
Yeah. I too, I've talked to people that have left the company before, you know, people that maybe I still have some kind of contact with, and like, you happier now? You know, and it's tough because you got to take that with a grain of salt, because a lot of times there might be some sort of vindictive nature to them or something. So
yeah,
it's
or they left to, you know, because they won the lottery or something. You know,
right? I mean, that's usually what it is. Right. That's pretty common.
No, I remember. Yeah, I had a job in a big company, and it would ebb and flow, but all of a sudden, I remember one of the other people in their department, it wasn't the design department, they came in, they said, you know, there's only one person who's, like, super happy down here, and it's the person who just put in the two-week notice.
I've noticed that. That seems to be a common thing.
Yeah, but
the fact that... Like, suddenly all those worries and drains just melt away.
But it wasn't a comment that person was real happy, it's that no one else is even remotely happy like there. Yeah.
Toxic.
Yeah, or you would see somebody who had left like 2 months before, and all of a sudden you see him out, and it's like, did you grow hair and like lose 30 pounds? Like, you look great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's really easy, I think, if you've been at a job for a long time to think that that's normal. And I, you know, just kind of keep reminding you, it's not normal. If that's the situation you're in, it's not what everything is like.
Yeah, and to be fair, there aren't any normal jobs in this profession at all.
No.
But that doesn't mean you should be miserable at
all. No. Right. I think I've been with people that have, you know, been with the same company forever, and they just think that's how it is everywhere. You know?
Everyone works Saturday and Sunday 12 hours a day.
Right. Yeah. I do not. I most definitely do not. I have a kid. I want to see him. I have a wife that I like to see occasionally. You know, I don't do that. You don't have to.
No. You can work normal hours in this profession.
It's usually one of the draws, actually, of in-house, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I know, I think ad agencies are worse than, like, design shops.
Yeah.
At least around here.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, I mean, I think when you're a young designer, you're maybe more willing to give up weekends and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
Until you're old and grizzled like me.
Yeah.
Well, you just get more responsibilities, but... Yeah. I think you nailed it when you said, it's just all about, you got to not be afraid to take risks. Things usually work out, and you just got to continue to grow and just be challenged.
I think that's fair. Okay, we'll be right back. All right, so when I went to school, the three biggest projects I think to work on, like, that would be cool is, you know, to do someone's stationery set,
yeah,
which is now worthless because people just want, it's just email signature. They want the business card, an email signature, and then letterheads in a Word file format. That's
CD cover number two.
Yeah, music packaging.
Music packaging.
Yeah.
Music packaging, which maybe with vinyl, that's coming back.
Yeah.
That might now be back. And the other one was the annual report,
mm-hmm,
which is now, I mean, there were shops that, you know, we heard of them. There's shops that we only do annual reports, and we do these great things, and they're wonderful, and they basically have unlimited budgets and huge photography, and that doesn't exist anymore. So what are the hot shops? Now I think we just mentioned music might be back with vinyl packaging.
Yeah. I mean, I even just did do something called Meet the Pros here in Omaha, where you get to meet with students and they get to show you their book and you get to tell them what they did wrong.
Okay, so what were the students that like, what do they want to work on? What's the hot thing now?
Scary thing was, is a lot of the same stuff. That was the frustrating thing. Like, but like when I saw like kids with like music, like they'd have like a CD album cover in their book, and it was always like, why aren't you doing like the iTunes icon? And like, you know, like there's all these other things that go along with that now. And then do a vinyl cover, which is more prescient than doing a CD cover. Nobody buys CDs anymore. But yeah, like,
and when's the last time you guys bought a CD?
Oof.
It's been
probably 4 or 5 years.
At least, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while. I don't even remember the last time I bought something on iTunes.
And I'm old school too. Like, I actually remember the days where I loved spending my hard-earned money on that kind of thing, because I loved the physical jacket, especially if it was well-designed album art. But...
Well, I'll get some vinyl every now and then, but I don't buy any CDs.
Yeah.
I mean, with my students, it's like a website is a cool project.
You design
a website.
I think you'd see more apps too. I don't see very much of that.
I think that's though because the website a designer can do by themselves. An app... There's some sort of coding that you need somebody else involved.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, it seems like some of the students I was looking at did do the design for an app and the concept for an app. And that, to me, as a pro, was some of the more interesting stuff to see, because that was like some real problem solving and that sort of thing.
Yeah, especially when they delve deep and really think about the functionality of it too, and like like specialized features for it that it would do, like how it would interact with other apps. And
I will say at the Meet the Pros that when I review, you know, I realize I've reviewed there like 15 times now, and I've reviewed a lot of books elsewhere too. But the one things that always go wrong is the billboards can go wrong quickly if you don't design billboards.
Yep.
Like if you don't design billboards, you just take that out of your book right away.
Yeah.
And then sports logos around here,
mm-hmm,
like that's a skill where if it works, you leave it in there, and if it doesn't work, you got to get it out. And you can tell immediately when you're looking at the sports logo if that person struggled doing it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a definite, I don't want to say style, but there's just kind of like a whole theme that they're going to have to fit into a little bit to be a functioning sports logo.
I think I told
logo.
One of them, I was like, look, take this out, because if anyone hires you to do a sports logo, the other logos that were in this book were decent. And I said, if someone saw your other logos and hired you to do a sports logo, you just do a logo like you do the other ones, and because that's why they hired you.
Don't you think there's something just about like that genre that's just so generic that it's hard to really stand
out? Well, no, what I mean is, but you can tell, like, when we say sports logos, we're talking like gradients and like stylized.
Right. Hard edges. Everything's hard edged.
But if somebody.
Slanted.
But there's always going to be companies that say, we don't want that for our logo. And if they see your work and they hire you, you don't give them what their market looks like. You give them something else. So, like, you look at what the Golden State Warriors rebrand looked like, mm-hmm. or the New York, or no, Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
And those two are just very straightforward and clean. And they look like old logos. They don't look like sports logos.
Yeah.
And they work, but they obviously probably didn't go to a company that specialized in, quote, sports logos.
Right. Yeah. Actually, wasn't Dr. Dre involved?
I think it was Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, you're right.
On the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. Yeah, I think logos are still, like, the super hot thing in kids' books. Like, they always want to do rebrands and that sort of thing.
Like, yeah, when you say, what do you really want to work on? They're like, I'd like to do logos. And it's like, we all do!
Yeah, everybody right. wants to. And that happens, like, you know, maybe 6 times in your career.
Nah, it happens more than that.
But well, the big ones.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever done a huge one. Yeah. You know, we do a bunch of them. But yeah, you have a company and they may have 30 projects over 5 years, but only one of them is their logo.
Right. Half the time you're working with a really terrible logo that you're just stuck with. You keep trying to hint that they should rebrand, but they don't.
Ugh,
and my nephew made that.
Sometimes you got to take one for the client.
Yeah. But logos are definitely, and I still see tons of those in the books, which is good.
So logos are still hot. Music's still hot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And websites might be overtaking annual reports.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, they need to.
I think they have. I see annual reports every here and there, but you don't. Not
I don't think this did. Last 2 or 3 years I've
seen
Yeah,
they've any. Been phased. Thankfully, I think a lot of the schools around here at least have been phasing them out.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done one professionally, actually. So
yeah, I don't think I have either. The only nice part about it was it was still like the how can people handle text?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So,
which is still a big deal. That's always like a deal breaker for me when I look at books. It's like all your type is Helvetica at 10 point in black, nothing else. Time to move on.
Why do you hate Helvetica so much?
I don't hate Helvetica. I just want a little variety.
Oh, all right.
Get tired of the tofu.
All right. Chris, Aaron, thank you very much for being on the show, and we'll be back when we'll be back soon, but hopefully next time, you know, we'll hear how now you're working for some monster gigantic company, even though you guys have no idea what's going to happen. So
we'll show up in our new sports cars.
but I do expect you to still dress like Lumberjack.
That's the company uniform.
Yeah. All right.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.